welcome to New Beginnings. I'm so glad that you're here. We are in a series, His Finished Works is Our Rest. This is a very personal series for me because over the last year and a half, the Lord's been working on me and teaching me about this because I had a grandson, 2 years old, named Isaiah, and he has battled through leukemia. And in the battling through leukemia, really broke me. And I was practicing seeking the Lord and praying and believing. And I want to tell you, I shared with his dad. His dad's a pastor too in North Carolina. And my son Zach. And I shared that little Isaiah has taught me, the Lord used him to teach me about rest, the power of rest, and that the Lord wants us to enter his rest. And there's a big difference between us trying to work or trying to make something happen on our end versus receiving what Christ has done on his end. Big difference. And our part is not to labor to make something happen. Our part is to receive what Jesus has already done. And when he was on the cross and cried out, "It is finished," his works through the crucifixion and even through the resurrection, but through the crucifixion and all that he went through, paid for everything for our salvation and also everything pertaining to this life. And part of the way we've explained it in this series is that his salvation, the price he paid for salvation, is not only for our everlasting life, and everlasting life starts when you receive Christ. Amen. Not when you get to heaven. It starts now. Amen. But the same price he paid for everlasting life, he paid for our abundant life. Amen. We've covered that in great detail through 8 sermons. We probably have a few more to go because I'm doing some fresh things this week that I've been working on this summer. And so, hallelujah, I'm excited about it. But I just want you to know and to practice. This is something for you to practice. It's not something for you to hear about on Sunday, say amen, and go home. As a matter of fact, one guy shared with me, he said, "Pastor, the inside of me says yes and amen, but the mind part of me hadn't really connected it." Well, that's not strange, because our spirit inside of us, full of Jesus, spirit, soul, and body, when you receive Christ, your spirit becomes brand new in Christ, completely new in Christ. Jesus comes to dwell in there. And, you know, so your spirit is saying yes and amen to the truth. And sometimes the mind has to be renewed. Well, it does have to be renewed. And sometimes that takes a period of time. And so that's why we encourage people, you continue to meditate on the truth. You continue to listen to the sermons over and over. I've had people that would say, you know, I take the CD home, and of course it's on podcast, and those of you listening by podcast, we greet you and celebrate you. And but people have said, I take the CD home, I listen to it all week, and by the time it comes to Friday, I get it. I mean, I really get it. And I said, well, I'm so glad you do. And one of them said, I can preach it better than you can by Friday. I said, great, that's good. That's what we want to hear. So that's fantastic. But part of this mindset, the throne room, the rest, comes from the throne room mindset, where that we know, according to Scripture, God's on his throne. Jesus is on the right hand of the Father. He's on the throne. And that's a position of victory that he's been on the right hand of the Father since the resurrection, and he's there representing us, and he's for us. It's a position of victory, okay, because this is a victory. It's the throne of victory. And also the Bible says that we're joint heirs with Christ. We are co-heirs and joint heirs with Christ, and because of that, we're seated with him in heavenly places. And so, God the Father on the throne, Jesus on the throne, and besides him, the bride of Christ. That's us. We're seated with him in heavenly places. And so, the beauty of this is that in this journey, we pick up a lot of things. Heartbreak. Sickness comes. Fear. all kinds, insecurity, not measuring up. Condemnation comes. And the enemy tries to get these and put it on our back for us to carry. But the Lord didn't design us to carry these things because he paid for these things on the cross. Yeah. And so what we're to do is to bring our burdens unto him and place them at his feet. Because the Bible says that all things are under his feet. All the enemies are under his feet. And so we're to come and present them to the Lord. And the Bible says we bring our burden unto him, and he gives us rest. It's tender, loving care, rest. He tender and lovingly cares for us. And so one pastor in another state I was sharing this with last year, and he said, whoa, wait. He said, that's new to me. He said, I didn't catch this. He said, I've been practicing bringing stuff to the Lord. He said, but I haven't been receiving the rest. I said, hey, man, the TLC from the Lord is very, very important for the refreshing and the renewing of us, okay? The rest is his peace that comes. And so don't leave. Don't leave until you receive the rest, okay? The peace, the relief, the tender, loving care of the Lord. And so this is a part of our journey here, is that we're practicing in our real life the position that the Lord has won for us. And this is something that all of us can do, and we need to practice. Those anxious thoughts that have been bothering you, disturbing you, harassing you, the situations in this life, and the Bible says there's many situations in this life. We're not talking about a perfection. We're not talking about a walk without conflict. That's not scriptural. The Bible's real clear that we walk and we have conflict in this journey. This is not heaven. Hello. This is not heaven. This is earth, and it's a battleground. Okay? And so one of the first battlefields is the mind. Amen. And so it's very, very important that we practice our position in this journey by submitting all things to his feet, receiving the peace and the love and the joy that he paid for us. Okay, and that we walk in this life with a peace that passes all understanding, that doesn't make sense to the world. We walk in a peace and a joy and a love in spite of what's going on around us. There's a table set before us in the presence of our enemies, and his name is Jesus, and we get to feast on him. Okay, and so this is a beautiful expression, and this is something that we are to practice, something that you can do. All right, so when the enemy comes against you, you take and submit this to the feet of Jesus. You're seated with the heavenly places. Whatever is under his feet is under his feet, under your feet. And so you take your feet and put it up on top of this fear too. Because it's defeated because of Jesus. Not by your works, not by your goodness, but by the works of Jesus. And this is something to practice. And this is something all of us can do. Look, this is so fresh. I'm receiving. Just like you are. I have to seek the Lord and everything. This came this morning, and it's so fresh. I've got it on a little post-it note here. But this just was life to me. I love it when the Lord does this. But listen to this. The more we practice our position, the more our position affects our practice.
Say that again.
The more we practice our position, the more our position affects our practice. Okay, I'm probably going to do t-shirt sermons one day because it seemed like it would fit. But I'm just going to ask you a question. You know, why did we go days in worry or disturbance or irritation or torment from the enemy when Jesus has paid the price for us to get relief? You say, well, I tried. Well, I'm telling you, go there and stay there until you get relief. Okay, because he paid the price for us to have peace and relief. His finished works gives us the power of rest. And this is why we're calling it a throne room mindset. You say, well, is this just a mind game? No, no, it's more than that. It's spiritual principles that we're putting into practice. The Bible says that he says, I will keep you at perfect peace if you keep your mind on me. That's Bible. Well, I want to tell you, don't live the normal life. He's called us to the abundant life. And part of the abundant life is practicing. I just want to ask this question, and I don't mean any condemnation. I'm trying to stir you up to believe, encourage you. But I wonder if we had a gauge, how many minutes this past week we spent with anxiety or a disturbed heart compared to how many minutes we spent in the throne room mindset. Well, wait. There's no condemnation here. I'm just sharing with you, as a man thinks in his heart,
so is he.
And so I'm telling you, good news, by his grace, not by our works, this is available for us. Okay, Isaiah 30, 15, it's first part of verse 15 says this. For thus said the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning to me and resting in me, you shall be saved. Is that beautiful? Oh, in returning to me, you do that with your heart. Resting in him, you do that with your heart. You shall be saved. In quietness, does that sound like rest? And in trusting confidence shall be your strength. Now I want to tell you, a good parallel word for health in the Bible is strength. And so I'm telling you, this is just beautiful. Hey, the Holy One of Israel is saying, I am your salvation. It's not your work-filled way, because that's the way of the world. That's also the way of religion. Okay? It's not your work-filled way, but I am your salvation. Return and rest in me. Does that sound like an invitation from the Lord? It is. Return and rest in me. In rest and peace with faith, I will be your strength. And he loves to renew our strength. He doesn't get tired. He loves to renew our strength. Hebrews 4, 1 through 3. Therefore, while the promise of entering his rest still holds and is offered today, 2018... let us be afraid to distrust it. Hey, the Bible, all through the Bible says, do not fear, do not fear, do not fear. Here it says, fear this, that you miss the rest. He's paid for the rest. Let us be afraid to distrust it, to not grab hold of it, to enter into it, lest any of you should think he has come too late or has come short of reaching it. So rest is offered today. Be afraid to miss it. Don't believe the lie that it's too late. Today, you can receive the rest. Today, if you hear his voice, you can receive the rest. Hear him calling you to rest. He paid for you. Don't believe the lie that it's too late or it's too far away from you. No, no, 1,000 times no. For indeed, verse 2, we have had the glad tidings, the gospel of God proclaimed to us just as truly as they, the Israelites of old, did when the good news of deliverance from bondage came to them. But the message they heard did not benefit them, and it will not benefit us unless we mix it with faith, unless we say yes to God. All right? Wow, what a picture that is. Because it was not mixed with faith, with the leaning of the entire personality on God in absolute trust and confidence in his power, wisdom, and goodness by those who heard it. Neither were they united in faith with the ones, Joshua and Caleb, who heard and did believe. And so this is very, very important that we see this, that we are to take God's word and we're to mix it with faith. We're to say yes. Faith is saying yes to what God says. God's given us a lot of promises in his word, and his word also says that Jesus, by the cross resurrection, has told us yes. Jesus is our yes to the promises of God. It's important that we agree with him and say yes to his yes. All right? And so not only are we to mix the word of God with faith and say yes to it, and I want to tell you this pleases God, but also we're to grab hands with those who are practicing faith. Do you see that? And so we're to be united in faith. We're to mix faith with the word of God, and we're to unite in faith. Okay, there's a lot of power in that. The Bible says where two or three agree as touching anything, it is done. Amen. He loves it when we dwell in unity together and when we believe together. Oh, it's very, very precious to him. He loves corporate meetings and corporate belief. Okay, I understand why my mammy and my big mama love to have everybody together. I didn't recognize it when I was younger, but now as a granddad, I recognize it. There's special corporate manifestation of Jesus when we agree together and when we believe together, when we come together. That's why it's important to be here on Sunday. There's a corporate manifestation. I'm telling you, the buffet is full, and it's for you, and it's overflow. Is that great? I love it. The gospel of glad tidings. Here it is, gospel. You're forgiven, you're healed, you're delivered, you're blessed by the finished works of Jesus. Am I receiving all that? No, but I've left the finish line, and we're practicing to believe, okay? We have this battle between believe and unbelief, okay? And we agree with the Lord. We want to walk in belief. We want to walk in faith, apply faith to what God says. It's by grace through faith. You're saved not by your works, but by His works. And we get the gift of righteousness. There's no one in here on our own that's righteous enough to get anything from God. You don't earn it. You don't deserve it. None of us deserve it. None of us earn it. But because of Jesus, we receive the gift of His righteousness. Not Tim. It's Jesus. Amen. Not you. It's based on Jesus. Aren't you glad it's not based on our report card, but it's based on His? I'm so glad. So our part is to surrender to Him and to believe it and receive it. For we who have believed, here we go, adhered to, trusted in, and relied on God, do enter that rest. It has to do with belief and unbelief. This is why I'm telling you, practice the throne room mentality. All right? Let's look at that. In accordance with His declaration, that those who did not believe should not enter in. When He said, as I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. And this He said, although His works had been completed and prepared and waiting for all who would believe from the foundation of the world. Wow. Believe and receive Him and rest. No belief, no rest. Even though the finished works are for you and they're available. And so it's very, very important. Now I'm going to read to you because I think it's a connection to this. And I'm trying to bridge this and make it right for you. It's possible for us to believe wrong. And it's possible to be taught wrong, to believe wrong. We continually have to battle the world's ways, the world's view, and line up with what Jesus said, even though we don't feel it, don't see it, you know, our senses. Faith is not, we don't walk by sight, we don't walk by feeling. We believe in the invisible more than the visible. The invisible is a greater reality than the visible. Okay? That's what kind of kingdom we operate in. But it goes like this. And this Psalm 90, I'm just going to share a little bit of this. It would be worth your attention. But Psalm 90 was actually written by Moses. I've been wanting to say this for years. So here we go. Every time I hear someone refer to this. So here we go. I'm kind of excited to share this and get this off my chest, so to speak. But this was by Moses, and he was actually appealing to the Lord for those who did not enter the rest. They refused the rest. And he's expressing to God, and he's just sharing his heart. And let me just share with you. It's okay to share your heart with God. Be honest with God. Even if it's not right, you're not going to hurt His feelings. Be honest with God. We worship Him in spirit and in truth. And be honest with the Lord. If you're mad, get it out. You're not going to shock heaven. They already know. Okay? And they're not offended by it. As a matter of fact, once you get it out, then He can deal with it. Okay. Well, that was free. That's not in the notes. Okay. But he was appealing and expressing to God how sad it was to see a whole generation of people die in the desert. And they basically had 40 years for all of them to die. And so there was a whole mess of dying going on. Everybody over the age 20 died over 40 years. And so they were dying early and they were dying often. A lot of bones bleaching in the wilderness, okay? That's referred to in Scripture. And so he was sad about it. Death is sad about that. And they were dying early. And even those that were still living before they died, they were miserable. All right? So what life they had left? Because of pride. And hey, this is a good point. is pride that links hands with unbelief.
Amen. Come on.
It's pride. Pride doesn't want you, let you believe God. The answer's in you somehow. Or the answer's in the world somehow. Or somehow or some way you're going to make it. You're going to do it your own way. Well, you know, that's pride. And because of pride, they said no to his rest. And when you say no to his rest, you say no to his best. That's a good thing.
Wow.
That's another t-shirt sermon. I need to say that again. When you say no to his rest, you say no to his best. Wow. Thank you, Lord. Okay, here we go. So don't settle for the curse, believe for the blessing. That's what I'm trying to tell you. I don't care what Aunt so-and-so said or what a former. Don't settle for the curse, believe for the blessing. The Bible says Jesus took our curses upon him on the tree. Okay, Psalm 90 verse 10, here it is. The days of our years are 70 years. 70 years. Or even if by reason of strength, 80 years, 80 years. Yet is there pride, you see this? Somebody say unbelief. In additional years, only labor and sorrow. No rest, miserable. I'm being real honest with you. There's a number of miserable Christians that are feel like that the only way there's going to be any relief is when they get to heaven. There is relief in heaven. But I'm here to announce to you there's peace for here in this journey. There's joy in this journey. It's the fruit of the Spirit in this journey. Jesus said, I come that they might have life abundantly in this journey. For it is soon gone and we fly away. 70 years by reason of strength, 80 years. This is what I'm telling you. There's a lot of people dying, whole generation of people dying in 40 years. Some of them were at different ages. But Moses is saying that, hey, they should be living a lot longer than this. And they're all dying early. Because of the curse. Because they didn't enter the rest. Okay? Those that believed and entered the rest lived a lot longer. See, I've been wanting to say this for a long time. Because every time somebody would say, well, we're limited to 70 or 80 years because of our health. No. This was because of the curse. Okay? But if you believe that, it's going to affect you. Okay, there's a lot of promises in Scripture. You'll see it all through Proverbs. We're going through Proverbs on Wednesday nights. There's all kind of promises about long life in Proverbs. And you probably know of one of them, but there's a number of them in Proverbs that's presented about long life. This was not a declaration of a lifespan of a believer. That's what I've been wanting to say for a long time. Moses was appealing to God. The short lifespan was a result of the curse of refusing to enter his rest. They were to die. Everybody over 20 years of age that refused to enter his rest died. Over 40 years. So some of them died at 60. Moses is saying most of them are dying at 70. And he's appealing to God about this. He said, I just hate to see this generation dying off. Moses lived to be 120. Aaron lived to be 123. Joshua lived to 110. Miriam, I don't remember, but she lived longer than Moses, a few years. But here's what I'm telling you, is that don't let that be. Don't live under the curse. Let's live under the blessing. Now, if you're 90 years old and not in good health, that's miserable living. Okay. I'm just trying to share with you. There's a better way. Why don't we be bold enough to believe God and enter his rest and believe God for his best? I want to tell you, that makes heaven smile. Okay, in the New Testament, we're under the finished works. His rest, not our works. I'm just going to give you a little example. And that you can check this out, but the little animals that are in your house, they have twice as long a lifespan in your home getting TLC, rest, than if they were in the wild. Even the ones that are in the zoo, you know? They have twice as long a lifespan in the zoo where they're getting TLC, good food, being taken care of, no stress. No stress in the daily living. They live twice as long. That'd probably speak to somebody. Stress is a killer. I mean, even medical science is caught up with that. Excuse me. Stress is a killer. Heart disease, big killer. Hurry, hurry, hurry lifestyle. It is not healthy. And God instilled the power of adrenaline. It's amazing how He created this body. And He designed the power of adrenaline in our body to kick in extra energy and strength for emergencies. It's called the fight or flight. And it's amazing what a person can do when that kicks in, fight or flight. Amazing. I mean, little 90-pound women have lifted cars and stuff. Of course, I believe angels are involved in that. But, you know, it's amazing. But it's not designed to be a constant pulling of the trigger. A stress-filled lifestyle is continually pulling the trigger on adrenaline. I'm going to say it to you like this. I don't know if Miss E's got this in here, but it's like this. Dis-ease. There it is. Way to go, babe. I'm going to hug you again later. Dis-ease, and I did it like that on purpose. Dis-ease of constant stress brings disease. Man, I nearly got knocked down with that amen. Okay, but see, God instilled for us to have a day of rest. It's okay for us to rest. Pastor, you want to give that testimony? You want to? Can you do that quicker than I preach? Okay, but He's designed us to have a day of rest. He designed it because He knows we need it, and it's okay with Him.
I love staying busy. I have all my life. I'm a farm boy. I grew up in a farm. And, of course, I'm retired as of June last year. And have a ranch, have a home in Irving, have an RV. And so I stay busy, and I love it. But anyway, Tuesday, my wife went in, and she normally takes a nap. And since she's retired. But anyway, I went in and laid down beside her. But I was thinking of all the things I needed to do. And so I was laying there, and I was saying, I wouldn't stress, I guess. But anyway, I was wrestling with it. And I said, Lord, I don't know what to do. Is it okay to take a nap? And, you know, and honestly, now, God speak to us through His Word. I want to correct this. I want to say this right off the bat. So we should be hearing from the Lord all the time. But there's very few instances in my life, but there have been several, when God has spoken directly to me. And you know, when I asked the Lord that, God said in my spirit, just as plain as I'm talking to you, it's okay to rest. And I'm telling you, after about 10 minutes of tears streaming down my, I'm seriously, just streaming down my face, because it was so precious to hear His voice, I slept like a baby. But I'm just saying, that is so neat when God speaks to you directly, because it meant more than just taking a nap. I knew what He meant when He said it, because like I said, I'm a busy person. I love to stay busy. But it's okay, Don, to stop. It's okay to stop and rest. And that was precious. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen, amen, amen. Thank you, Pastor. Did you enjoy that? I did too. I did three, let me say. I enjoyed that. But, you know, He's designed for us to take a Sabbath. Now, you know, it's like I told a pastor in East Texas the other day. You know, we work weekends. Pastors do. But I'll tell you what, the principle is there. We need to practice it. He designed us to have a day of rest. Okay, enjoy the Lord. The Sabbath was designed for us to enjoy the Lord, enjoy our family, enjoy each other, and rest. Okay? Because He knows the way we are. We figure out some way to work it out. Okay? Romans 10:11 says this. The scripture says, no man who believes in him, who adheres to, relies on, and trusts in him, will ever be put to shame or disappointed. Wow, I love that. Whoever believes in him will not be put to shame. Now, I love this, and I began to looking these up when in the New Testament they quote the Old Testament, and this is actually what Paul was quoting. He was quoting Isaiah 28:16. And it's amazing sometimes because with the New Testament quoting of scriptures in the Old Testament, a lot of times the Holy Spirit gives us great revelation of what this is about. So exciting. So, you know, we've taught you to see Jesus in the Word. That's very important. Isaiah 28:16. Look at this same quote in the Old Testament that Paul was quoting. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, behold, I am laying in Zion for a foundation, a stone. You see capital S, stone. Somebody tell me who the stone is. His name is Jesus. That's right, a tested stone, a precious cornerstone of sure foundation. Who is that? His name is Jesus. He who believes, trusts in, relies on, and adheres to that stone will not be ashamed or give away or hasten away in sudden panic. Wow. So if we're trusting and leaning on and depending on the Lord, Jesus is our cornerstone, our rock, our salvation, then I want to tell you, we don't have to be ashamed and we don't have to hasten away in sudden panic. Wow, that's a description. I'm telling you, I could paint some pictures with that. I'm sure you can too, and I want to tell you, it fits. Old Testament's a shadow of New Testament reality. So we shall not make haste, hasten away, or be in sudden panic, because we're believing, trusting in, resting in the cornerstone Jesus. We will not be put to shame or disappointed. That is powerful. That needs to be on a wall somewhere. Take the time to pray and play. Someone asked me the other day, said, man, y'all raised some godly kids. You know, what's the secret? It's no secret. Pray with them and play with them. Needs to be connection there. Pray with them and play with them. Take them to church. Okay? I'm telling you, I had All-American boys. They ended up being great football players, college football players. But I want to tell you, there was times during their life where they would wake up and say, I don't feel good. I don't want to go. We had one question. Are you breathing? Yeah? You need to go praise the Lord with that breath. You going? And they did. And you know what? They really came out all right. Didn't kill them. All right. It was great for them. They were blessed by it. So take time to pray and play with the kiddos. Have dates with the kids. Pastor James is good about this. Thank you, Pastor James. Don't let their calendar be full every night. I want to tell you, we're in a generation. I'm talking about the rush, rush, hurry, hurry. It's not healthy. It's possible that their little calendar can be just as busy or more busy than yours. You can be the roving taxi service night to night. And I'm just going to share with you, their calendar does not have to be full every night. Let some nights be family nights. Now, the Boatleys, the Shipleys, are famous for game nights. Okay, and I'm not allowed to participate for my own discretion because I want to not hurt the witness of Christ. But I want to tell you, I love to hear them laugh. I love to hear them have fun. They get together for family game nights, even as adults. And you know what? That's good. There's a whole lot good about that. Have breakfast together. Have dinner as a family together. Have set time somewhere where you turn off all the devices. My, 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 I can't go there. I don't have a scripture to go with it, but I got a lot to preach on that. But look, you need to talk, you need to laugh, you need to listen. Let me say it again. You need to listen. One more time. You need to listen. Okay, slow down and enjoy the journey and enjoy each other. I want to present this little picture, and I may preach on this. I may get to this next week, but you're a living tabernacle. Yeah. And, you know, on the outside of the tabernacle, there was some busyness. inside of the tabernacle, holiness, peace, quiet. Okay? I want to tell you, that goes against our modern culture, because our modern culture, the inside, is a merry-go-round. It's very, very busy. So, you're the living tabernacle. The outer courts may be busy, but the inner place, the Holy of Holies, should be a place of quiet, peace, and rest. And all the people said, He leads me beside resting waters. Be still. Rest. And know, experience me as God. I'm telling you, it's all through Scripture. We have so much. Noah means rest. I've preached on that. Noah means rest. That was the first part of this series. Rest found grace. It says rest found grace. Noah found grace. And rest finds grace. When you're resting in Him, God is actively working in your behalf. If you're trying to do it by your own works, your own way, I want to tell you, God has a way of waiting for you to depend on Him, trust in Him, and lean on Him. And when you do, rest comes. He works in your behalf. More happens in less time than you ever could have done either way. For the one who rests in believing, there is no haste, no shame, no disappointment. This hit me. And I meant to talk to Pastor James and Pastor Don about this. Race engines, if I remember right, are replaced about every 200 miles. Is that right? Is it less or more than that? Do you know? I know you know something about that.
I don't know the exact miles, but yeah, they are replaced a lot.
I think it's about every 200 miles or less. Race engines are replaced a couple hundred miles. Now, after every race, okay. How about some of those diesel trucks? How many miles can they get on one engine? Yeah, 300,000? Okay. Yeah. Yeah, okay, 300,000, 500. Do you see a difference there? Okay, I'm not trying to preach to you about race cars. I'm trying to help you with the thought. Our purpose is to transport from one place to another and enjoy the journey in between. If we enjoy Him, we enjoy the journey. Okay? It's what's called abundant life. And so Jesus did not get on to Martha for being too busy. He said to her, you are troubled about many things. Troubling. Here. Mind. Heart. Here. He knew her heart and her mind was not at peace. Jesus had time for multitudes and individuals. Man, I'm rushing through this. I hope you're catching it. Jesus had time for multitudes and individuals. But He would often come apart. The Bible says He would often come apart. This is what the Bible says, as was His manner of custom. That means lifestyle. It was His lifestyle. For Him to come apart from the crowds, the people, even the disciples, and come apart just to spend time with Father, to fellowship with Father. If it was important for Him, do you think we need to practice this? How about some throne room mindset? Amen. There's plenty of praise and thanksgiving in the throne room. That's what's there. I'll tell you, you practice the throne room mindset and you're going to realize this. Jesus is not worried about your situation. He's not disturbed. He's not upset. He's not up there having a meeting with Father and Holy Spirit saying, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? No. He has a plan. I'm trying to make you smile, but I'm trying to get a point across here. When you practice the throne room, you see Jesus is peace. He is peace. He is your joy. And I want to tell you, you can receive joy and peace. He paid for it. And practice the throne room mentality. Jesus was very busy, but He was peaceful on the inside. Again, I want to say, like a tabernacle. Okay, Matthew 11:28. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden and overburdened. Boy, that fits. And I will cause you to rest. He didn't say, you're going to have to work it up. You're going to have to make it happen. No, 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 no. See, you come and surrender. You submit. Submit to God. Resist the enemy, he will flee. You come and submit to the Lord. Get your feet on top of what Jesus has got his feet on. Because we're co-heirs. And you practice this. And he says, I will give you rest. See, it's an exchange. It's an exchange. You bring your burden unto him, lay it down at his feet, and he gives you. It's an exchange program. He gives you his rest. Look what this rest looks like. I love the way the Amplified brings out the original language. It goes like this. I will ease and relieve and refresh your souls. Anyone need a good dose of that? I want to tell you, that's available from Jesus 24/7. We don't have to wait till Sunday. Praise Jesus. He loves us. This is him loving on us. He loves us because he is love. Look at him. It's not because of who you are. Don't look at you. If you look at you, you're going to be disappointed. You're probably going to be depressed if you look at you. It's not you. Look at Jesus. Throne room mindset, see Jesus. Okay? Be focused on Jesus. He loves to love on you. Let him minister his rest to you. Rest and receive. Be still and know that I'm God. Jesus sympathizes with your weaknesses. We have a great high priest who sympathizes with our weaknesses. He provided a way for you to receive strength. It sounds to the world, it sounds weak to rest. But he chooses the weak resting to confound the busy wise ones. Oh man, I like that. Woo! I'm going to say it again. It sounds weak to rest, but he chooses the weak resting ones to confound the busy wise ones. Man, that fits. Hey, you're a beloved one. You're beloved. He calls you beloved. That means you're so loved. You're so loved. This is because of him. Hey, we get this because of him. He paid for it. It's by grace through faith. We don't deserve it, but he loves us. He paid for it, and our part is to agree, okay? You're a beloved one, so beloved ones are to love others. Bible says someone full of love and walking in love against which there is no law. Love is unselfish. Love believes the best about others. We have a role to fulfill. Fulfill your purpose. You have a ministry. All of us have a ministry. You say, well, I'm not a minister. Yeah, you are, according to the Word of God. Well, for one thing, we're to build the body of Christ. All of us have, or we may not have the gift of evangelism, but we're all called to evangelize. You have a responsibility to give a report of Jesus, to be a living billboard for Jesus. And so, yes, you're an evangelist. And number two, you're to be an exhorter. The Bible says for us to exhort one another. You're to build the body of Christ, exhort the body of Christ. Why? Because we need it. We need to encourage one another. Evangelism, exhortation, whatever it is, be served before you serve. Go to the throne room first. If you get out here trying to do the stuff without receiving from the Lord first, it ends up being out of the flesh. You end up getting weary. You end up getting tired. You end up getting frustrated. You end up getting burnout. We know something about that. And so it's important, what Jesus was saying to Mary and Martha, is to be served before you serve. Receive from the Lord. And then you go give what you have, what he is, okay? I'll tell you what, I saw the beautiful blonde in the last month. The Lord gave her a word to send some certain people, a little love note, a little word of exhortation through just some little cards. Wow. Was that home run? Home run city. I mean, tell you something. Something like that. She just got that word from the Lord to them, shared it with them. I'm telling you, we got reports back from that. It's just absolutely beautiful. It's amazing. You know what it sounds like? Jesus. Amen. You may have a word for the day. Every part's an important part. I'm going to mention right quick the Seabees. They were the United States Naval Construction Battalions, better known as the Seabees, from the Naval Construction Force of the United States Navy. The naval construction battalions were conceived as a replacement for civilian construction companies working for the U.S. Navy after the United States was drawn into World War II. The reason I'm bringing this up is because the CBs would consist of skilled workers who had everyday responsibilities that would be trained to drop their tools if necessary and take up their weapons at a moment's notice to defend themselves. Wow, yeah. I want to tell you, that fits us. Yeah. You know what? We have everyday responsibilities, but we go through those responsibilities, hey, recognizing Jesus, ministering His joy and peace wherever we go, and whenever we come against an enemy, and the enemy is out there, active, when you come against an enemy, hey, we take up the weapons of our warfare and we deal with the enemy, and then we get right back into Amen. Building the kingdom of God. Yeah. I'm telling you, you see this? Okay? You see tools and a weapon? They would actually be like on bulldozer and have a weapon strapped to them, ready to cut off the dozer and get to shooting. I just love that. That seems to fit us. Are you guarding the garden and enjoying His rest and finished works? Are you outside in weariness working to till the soil? Receiving Jesus brings you everlasting life and everlasting righteousness. You have bottomless grace. Wow, that's a good thought. I meant to ask the beautiful blonde. I didn't get time to do this. There was a time at Chili's when Chili's advertised... They did? Okay, well, what I was going to say about... I like that. What I was going to say about Chili's is that at one time, years ago, they advertised bottomless bowl of chips and bottomless bowl of salsa. Right? And they had free refills on drinks. I don't think they do that anymore, do they? I don't know. Oh, what? Okay, let's not go there. I'll be going there for lunch. But I'm here to tell you, man, that spoke to me. Because I'm telling you, they set down them chips and that salsa, and it's a bottomless bowl. I could, at that time, I was drinking heavy, I'd drink a Dr. Pepper. And so, but I knew I could get, man, Dr. Pepper chips and salsa, man, by the time my meal arrived, I'm blessed. Okay? Well, I'm here to tell you something. This is bottomless bowl of grace. His grace is greater than your mess. And His grace can help you out of your mess. Okay? More than you can use. You don't even lose it when you fall down. Because you turn your heart to Him, let Him help you back up. And you get to enjoy His finished works, because it's not by our works, it's by His. When you're enjoying and cultivating His finished works, you don't want to fall. Are you listening? He provides ever-increasing grace. Okay, I've got to finish. How many of you give me 5 minutes? 5, 10, 15, 20, 25. Oh, I'm good. Okay. Cultivate by believing. That's what God told Adam in the garden. He was to cultivate. We cultivate by believing. It's the throne attitude. It's the win by we win by cultivating and sowing seeds of finished works. All right? The seed is His finished work. You sow it. You plant it. You keep it. You guard it. That's what Adam was supposed to do with the garden. It was a finished garden when he started. The enemy wants to steal. He come to steal, kill, and destroy. Now, you may have some lost fields in your life. I have some too. But I want to tell you, the Lord's promised to restore what the enemy has stolen. And not only do we get it back, we get more back. Okay? That's the principle of the kingdom. And so sowing seeds is private, personal cultivating. This is why I'm encouraging you in the name of Jesus. Let's believe God for something personal and something big. Let's believe God for something public and something big. But I want to tell you, a lot of times sowing seeds is private, personal cultivating. There's no crowd there when you're sowing seeds. But I want to tell you, harvest is public celebration. And you know what? He promises us a continual harvest. Remember, it's not just for us, it's for others. It's time for us to sow a new ground. Hey, I'm challenging you, I'm asking you, you want new victory? You want new harvest? Sow in new ground. Cultivate Jesus' finished works in new areas of your life. What are you believing God for? Let's get out of the routine comfort zone and believe God for big, believe God for more, believe God for new. When you see this church, you don't see this church with empty seats. Throne room mentality is that we see the victory of Jesus. Many souls come to Jesus. Many lives being touched. You see this church filled. You see this church celebrating. You see multiple services. You see Jesus receiving honor and glory for restored lives, renewed lives, new lives. But when you rest, and this is what we're to labor to, when we rest, the position of your heart is in belief, and it's in peace. Now, I've got to say that real clearly because there's some preaching out there that says that you disqualify yourself because of your own stupidity, or you disqualify yourself because of the sin that got you there. Well, let me address that. Jesus qualified you for mercy. Okay? His mercy is bigger than your mess. His mercy is bigger than your mess up. Are there some things that we suffer for in this life for our wrong decisions? Yes, there are. There's a principle in Scripture, we reap what we sow. But I want to tell you, when it comes to heaven's sake, when it comes to kingdom's sake, when it comes to restoring and renewing in the Lord, His mercy, His grace, His forgiveness, His deliverance is all for you. He paid for it. Amen. That's Jesus. That's what He did for you. His love, His mercy, and His grace is bigger than anything you've done or can do. Did Jesus ever tell someone, "No, I won't heal you"? He didn't. Did Jesus ever tell someone, "No, I won't forgive you"? No. Did He ever tell anybody, "No, I won't set you free from oppression or torment of darkness"? No, He didn't do that. Okay, there are examples of people telling Jesus no. There's example of entire villages telling Jesus no. Groups of people. Is it possible? This is just a question. Is it possible for a church to tell Jesus no?
Yeah.
Well, Lord, there are examples of entire villages that told Jesus no by unbelief. And the Bible actually says that He was limited in what He could do. Limited by what He could do because of unbelief. I'm telling you, that ought to speak. I've been accused of being in denial. Well, if I am, don't wake me up. No, really and truly, I'm not in denial. You know what? I'm in peace. People don't understand peace. Peace don't make sense to the world. It's okay for you to be in peace. It's okay for you to be in faith. Pray the Word, stand the Word, give thanks to Him before, during, and after. Practice the throne room celebration and let God be God.
Amen.
It's under our feet. It's by faith, not by sight. You've been paid for. I don't care what it feels like now. I don't care what it looks like now. I don't care what other people are saying now. Amen. Jesus is Lord. And He is my victory. He's your victory. There's a greater reality than what we see, feel, or think. And so let's practice. Let's practice. You say, "Well, Brother Tim, in this spiritual exercise stuff, isn't that a work?" Well, no, not really. Does not spiritual exercises that we're talking about doesn't work to make God love you more. It actually puts your heart in a position to respond to God more. Okay, do you see that? It positions your heart. It massages your heart to recognize and respond, receive and respond to the Lord. Okay? Okay, why don't you stand? This is proof that I'm finishing. Thank you for standing. And all the people said,
amen.
Loudest amen I got today. Okay, all is available because of what Jesus did. Finished works on the cross. That's the power of the gospel. It's the grace of God. We have access to all that He is. Not based on us, based on Him. Forgiveness, healing, deliverance, prosperity, joy, peace, love, hope. It's not a question mark of did I please God today? The question is, did Jesus please God? Get it? We believe Jesus has power. We don't believe He wants to do it for us. We doubt because of our lack of performance, guilt, condemnation. I'm going to announce something to you. Drop your righteousness. Your righteousness belongs in the trash. It says that your righteousness is like filthy rags. Don't make me explain that. I'm telling you, just drop it, throw it in the trash. We embrace His righteousness. When we embrace His righteousness, power flows. Peace comes. Rest comes. Renounce all condemnation and self-righteousness. Say yes to His yes. His yes. It's a gift of righteousness. So let's receive. It makes heaven shout when we just practice receiving. Peace. Rest. Let Jesus be Jesus. We're praying for you right now. There's people coming to help us pray for you. We're going to take a few moments. We're not going to take long. This is not counseling time. This is prayer time. You come up and tell, if you've never received Christ, this is a great day to receive Christ. If you're here this morning and you're being troubled, tormented, irritated, you've got anxiety or fear in any area, then I want to tell you, let us agree with you for Christ's victory, because He won a victory for you. So let's pray together. Father, in Jesus' name and by the power of Your Holy Spirit, we invite, Holy Spirit, come. Show Yourself mighty. Touch hearts. Touch lives. Lord, we receive Your victory in this place. We receive Your victory in our lives, in our church, in our homes, in our families. Lord, we proclaim Your victory. And we declare, by the precious working of the Holy Spirit, we believe, we say yes, we receive Your rest. We surrender this stuff to the throne room, to Your feet, and we put our feet on top of Your feet, and we say it is done, and we claim the victory in the name of Jesus, and we receive Your works in our behalf. In Jesus' name, amen.